And to thank all of you that have been a part of the fast that we've had since Monday night and through this earlier today, 6 o'clock or whenever you decided to quit. Some of you may have maybe did one or two meals. Some of you may did a day or half a day or just a few hours here and there. Regardless, you're a part of it, because when you go in as a church fast, is the church is fasting, and sometimes people can't always do what everybody else is doing, but you are a part of it. So I want to make sure you know you are a part of that. And this is some things are a little bit out of whack, because this message tonight was supposed to be after the vision night, but I'm going to go ahead and preach it anyway. But the things that we fasted for, once again, I'll talk more on Sunday, but baptismal growth, which is some other parts of growth, financial growth, and also leadership growth. And there's a purpose of that, and I'll share that on Sunday. But tonight, I want to share a piece tonight on the importance of your character as a Christian, but also the importance of a person, regardless of who they are. It's important of a person, and then it's also a part of their part to receive it. But tonight we're going to look in the book of Philemon, the letter of Philemon tonight. And as we look at this, this is a letter that Paul is writing out of prison. how many of you ever gotten a letter from someone in the mail? Everybody has, hopefully. Some of you may have gotten one when you were in jail. Some of you may have gotten one from someone that is in jail. But my question is, when you get a letter, if it's of a really importance, I'm asking, how many times did you read that letter? How many times did you read that letter? This is Paul's shortest letter. This is the shortest piece, but it is a very powerful piece. It's more powerful. I don't hear a lot of people preach on it much, but it is a very powerful piece. You're going to see three names pretty much. You'll hear a few other names, but there's three players in this. There's the writer, Paul, who is at an older age now, who is in prison. It is Onesimus, or Onesimus, however you want to say it. He is the topic of the person that the letter is about, and the letter is written to Philemon. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut this into some pieces, because it's going to be easier for me to cut it, but I will read the whole thing tonight, but it's going to be through some phases, okay? But I want you to get this tonight, because Paul is a seasoned, we can call him apostle, what are you? He is the one. He's him and some of the disciples that are still alive, apostles that are still alive. Philemon is this man who owns slaves, but he's a Christian, and he owns his own house, because the church meets in his house. Now, we need to get this, I could really be slammed for this, but we need to get this idea that slavery is an old thing. Listen, we that are living in freedom, it is a blessing. I'm thankful for the blessing. Listen, I don't want to go into the slave. Slavery ended in the world about 200 years ago. Before that, slavery was all the time. It was all the time. So Romans owned slaves, Africans owned slaves, people in England owned slaves, and all across the world, China had their own people enslaved. How do you think they built the wall? The world put people into slavery, and sometimes we can get into bond servants and those things, and sometimes people had debts to pay, and they would give three or four sons over here for a few years to pay off a debt, and they would just be slaves. Some of them would be bond servants. So this is kind of normal life. If you had a house, a lot of times you had a slave. You had servants. You had a slave. They lived there in that house. Or they lived outside in a smaller area. And Philemon was one of those guys. And under Roman law, people had slaves. And Paul is in prison. Let me read this at the beginning. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Alpha and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So we know the church is in his house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. What we see, just this part right here, is Philemon is doing a good thing in his house. That's what he's saying. You're doing a good thing, and people are getting stronger, and they're growing in their relationship with God. We see it, and this is a good thing. And I want to, could you imagine getting a letter from Paul? Sometimes you can get something from somebody and don't mean a whole lot. But when that person is giving you something and of strong godly character, with a few years on, doesn't hurt either. History. When you look at the person, you know that this person that is giving you something has not only but talks a big talk, but also lives what he talks. But not only his words show it, his actions show it, his body shows it, as when he can take off his shirt, you would see stripes on his back and the scars on his arms. And always, I believe there was always some scars here, because they always seemed to be in chains. He carried the marks of what he believed. And Philemon is going to get a letter. He gets a letter from this carrier, and it's a letter, and it's from Paul. And you're just like, what is Paul going to tell me? What is he going to instruct me? We're going to get into some good stuff here. He says in verse 8, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I would rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, I'm older now. I'm a prisoner of Christ. I could tell you what to do here. I'm not going to. I'm going to appeal to you out of love. You know, let me tell you something. We all say we understand love, but sometimes we don't understand love until we get much older, when we have a lot more experience with love. Love is very hard to describe and get it right. Grace is very hard to get to describe and get it right. You almost have to experience them to understand them and God's mercies. But let me tell you, a letter out of prison doesn't make the man weak. I get letters from people in prison, from prison, or from county jails, and not just Huntington, but Allen and Grant and some others, and from some state penitentiaries. I like getting letters from people in prison. This is what I know. Stamps are very hard to get a hold of. They're very expensive. It's not that they're very expensive, because in prison they're more expensive than they are in county. Because if you want like a pop, or you want chips, or you want something extra, people always seem to want to trade stamps, especially those who have loved ones that they want to write. Now, things could be changing in some places where they're able to get on emails, but did you know those emails still cost some type of stamp? You still have to pay, because we're putting some on a few people's tabs. So, if you ever get a letter from someone in prison, it will be stamped, special marked, let you know that it's somebody, but it's important because they're important. They know what they did. But I also will remind you that there are people that are in prison that are innocent. They are innocent. Our system is not perfect. Only God's system is perfect. And only one judge is perfect. And he's appealing. He hasn't got to, but he appeals in verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. One, or who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Now he knows him. He knows, they know this guy. Onesimus is Philemon's slave. We don't really grasp that really that well, but we're going to try to understand it. But he is his slave. Now back then, as a slave, good master, they would take care of those. They would take care of them, and they had that house, and they would be a part of that, not have all the advantages and all the privileges, but they were a part. But once the Messiah had done something, because he's now in jail too. He probably took off, ran away. Many theologians believe he probably stole something and got caught. Because you lose all privileges when you leave. You don't have any food. And now he's sitting next to Paul. And Paul is saying, I appeal to you for my son. So something has happened in prison. He says, verse 11, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me, I am sending him back. Okay, somehow his time is done. Somehow, didn't have to gain law. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, to whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. He said, I'd like him, want him to stay here, but he don't belong to me. He belongs to you. And Paul is appealing to Philemon. He says, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but involuntarily. I don't want to put the hammer down. I don't want to pressure you. I want you to do it voluntarily. I want you to do it voluntarily, okay? I want you to do it by your own heart, okay? Sometimes when you have a name, okay? Sometimes when you have a position, sometimes people will do things just because of you and your position. Not just at church, but even at work. Because of your position. Sometimes you can have that. I don't want to say some type of power, but that's who you are, and sometimes people will just give in because of the position that you have. That kind of tells us how powerful Paul is in the Christian world, even in prison. But Paul says, I don't want you to do it because I'm telling you to. I want you to do it voluntarily. And you can imagine reading this letter. He's reading this letter going, okay, all right. Because they know each other. Okay, we'll see even that even closer. For perhaps he departed for a while. This is the Paul right here. This is the spiritual part. He says, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Huh. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. What he is saying, the first part of what he's saying, yeah, Philemon is a slave owner. Somebody took off. And somebody's appealing for him a long way away. And he's telling him to do it voluntarily, but he's saying, I want you not to receive him as a slave now. I want you to receive him as a free man, but not just a free man, but a brother. Equal to you and me. Could you imagine if you owned about more slaves? This is a really odd conversation, but more slaves? What they think is like, oh, okay, what's this about? Okay? But we don't know how Philemon ran his house, but the church is in his house. And if we read through the scripture, we know the church loved Jesus. And there was a part there, so we knew that he had to be good at what he was doing. So we just... So he says, 19 is huge. I, Paul, I'm sorry, let me back up to 18. I missed this part. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. Let me tell you, people in prison know that term. It's still used today. Put that on my account. On the register, which is there where you can have stamps and you have money on your account, today. That's what we do. We can put money and we can send it through their PayPal thing or whatever, and it puts money on that prisoner's account. There's money. Okay? There's also an account where the prisoners have their own account. Okay? But this account thing, it is still being used today. But Paul's saying, put it on my account. That's pretty strong. If he owes you anything, put it on my account. Wonder what that could cost. Says, if he owes you anything, put it on my account. He says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, and I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self. Besides, what he's saying, Philemon, I want you to remember something. I led you to the Lord, just like I led him to the Lord. Scott, go see what's going on out there. So, what Philemon's saying, I led you, or, get me back on thought now. Paul is saying, Philemon, I led you to the Lord. Don't you forget that. There's a lady that's going to retire on the 25th of this month from Wayndale Baptist, been serving for 40-50 years. When I see this woman, I give her a hug every time. When I see her, I go up there and I love on this woman all the time. Why do I do that? Because I make a way. When she comes in the room, everybody else goes away. I go to that woman because she led me to Christ. She is the one that took the time out to lead me to Christ in 1978. She is special to me. She is super special to me. Now, I can't be at her retirement, but I will be sending something. And I've asked the Lord that if when I get to heaven on reward day, that if I can give out three rewards, if I can give three of my rewards, if I get three, I want to give them away. One to the woman who led me to Christ, because that was important to me. Number two is TB, the one when I didn't know what I was doing in pastoring, and this crazy call, awesome, bigger than myself, that he helped me through in the beginning of the time. And the third is my wife. It is important that you know the person who led you to Christ. And he is calling, he says, I want you to remember, even You owe me yourself. That's not a bad thing, but that may be the terminology that Philemon understands. You owe me even yourself. Oh, the wake-up call. Ah, he led me to the Lord. He's asking me because Onesimus come to the Lord over there. So that means he's going to be different now. He's now saved. This guy could have been a rebellious guy. Somehow he took off. He might have been the one they had to watch all the time. But not Paul is standing in for him. You know what this is a representation of? Of what Jesus has done for you. And so he says that you owe me even your own self besides. But in verse 20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. You know, sometimes I bet in prison that there's not a lot of times of refreshing moments. He's saying this would be a refreshment to me in my heart and in my soul and my spirit. Because then you're in prison and you lead some, out here you lead someone to the Lord. It lifts your spirit. Come on now. It refreshes you. It strengthens you. And it's not nothing that you get. It's just being a part of God working and moving. And this is what we're going to be working on in the next few weeks anyway. He says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. You're going to bless him. You're going to bless him. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me. What he's saying is that I believe I'm going to be coming. I'm coming over. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greet you. Here we go now. Pay attention. And as Mark and Artacharis, Demas and Luke, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. What he said, all the names I just mentioned, they all know Philemon too. So this isn't just one guy that Paul knows. It's the whole clan knows him. And not just really as Paul's using his name, but he also puts in there about four or five guys like, oh yeah, these guys know about this too. Okay? What we see is a slave owner who lost a slave but gained a brother. We see a slave didn't think it could get any worse. It got worse. But right where it was at, the Lord used Paul to work with him. And he come to Christ. And Paul says it might be just for that reason. What happened might be just for this moment that he come to Christ here. Because somehow he didn't do it there, but he came here. Maybe he was even running from Christ. We don't know. But he did something wrong. And not only is Paul appealing to him to forgive and to let him come back, but that he come back as free man and as the same equal level as a brother. This letter is powerful. And most theologians believe that this Onesimus became a great leader, a great spiritual teacher and leader in Ephesus. If it is the same one. What I know is this. There is a story of a man who was lost. And not just lost, but a slave. But what Christ can do. One person sharing the gospel to a person who doesn't know the gospel. His life is changed. Everything about his life is changed. Listen, you can live in the same house, but when you come saved, your house becomes a home. You may be part of a family, and your family won't change, but now you become the light into the dark family because you got saved. I'm afraid sometimes we think salvation is what I have or what we have, but we forget about those out there. And that's where we're heading in. And the power of the gospel and the power of your character when you are able to say things to other people that will get them to pay attention as a part of that plan of helping them. Just because people, when they get saved, sometimes people need a little bit more help. But here it is. Paul is getting old. This is one thing I see in here. Paul is getting aged. His time is coming to an end. Once Demas was probably a young guy. I'm quick enough. Ain't gonna catch me. So when Paul, his generation, passes away, a new generation has to rise for the glory of God. It has to rise for the sharing of the gospel. It has to rise to let the light shine, and has to rise to be bold enough to share the gospel in prison, out of prison, in the church, out of the church. And then lives become changed. And that's my goal for the next few weeks, to preach and teach to you the importance, as we did a few weeks ago, about the four soils. Don't be fooled. Everybody that says they're saved is not saved. In a few weeks, we're going to hit an area that's going to probably mess some people up. But what happens when you, the moment you die, what happens? The very moment a person dies, what happens? What happens next, and then what happens? And I really want you to be impacted on the power of the gospel, the power of salvation. What happens in your life and with your soul when it shifts from lost to saved? This is why Satan doesn't want people to say is that when it shifts, everything shifts. Eternally shifts. Once and Wondemus, when he came to Christ, everything shifted. When he came to Christ, he was received as he was. And Paul says, I will appeal for you. That's awesome. We should do that for one another. We should stand in for one another when we feel weak, when we can't do what we feel we ought to be able to do. This is why we do this in the community. But the ministries can't do it all. We have to be sharing the gospel ourselves. Amen? Amen? Father, as we're going to stand. Father, as we come to this moment of prayer, I pray, Father, that our hearts have been touched, Lord, by this powerful letter. There's even some more in it that wasn't able to get to, but I thank you, Lord, for it. I pray, Father, our character will be as strong like Paul's. And we won't be ashamed of the gospel. And we'll share the gospel. Give us the strength and courage to share the gospel to those that are lost. I pray, Father, our hearts would have a hunger for lost. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.